at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why are we at the feet of Jesus? Why should we be at the feet of Jesus?
Because that's the best place to be.
Because he's Lord over our faith, Lord over our life. And the Bible says we give ourselves up to Christ. Our soul in believing, he's the Son of God, he's our Redeemer, he's our Savior. We are at his feet to learn from him. He's the teacher of the teachers, the prophet of the prophet, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the living word is Jesus. All wisdom, power, glory belong to Jesus. He will teach us today. And he's alive, very much alive.
And the evidence of Jesus is lives changed. That is the evidence that he's alive, that he's not dead. That's the evidence that he's alive, that it's not history. That's the evidence that he is real. Your life, my life being changed. And that is the evidence that people will read and they will see that Jesus lives.
Yes.
He never said goodbye.
He died for you and I. He entered the grave and came out in glory.
Amen.
Look, why we are at the feet of Jesus. When Jesus started his ministry after the baptism of John, he went to the wilderness first to defeat Satan. Jesus started by defeating the devil and ended by defeating hell. He took dominion, destroyed the power of Satan in the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. At the last moment, at the grave, he defeated death and conquered hell and came out of the grave. He finished the job, the Alpha and Omega. Victory, victory, victory forever. So today, we're at the feet of Jesus. Where is Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of God. Doing what? Praying for you and me. Remember his word. He said to the apostle, Father, I pray that you do not keep them from the world, but you keep them from the evil one. He said, Father, I'm not only praying for these, I'm praying for everybody who will believe through their message.
You are included in that prayer.
So Jesus is praying for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's listen to the teacher. When Jesus came, what was the first thing Jesus said when he started his ministry? What was the first word Jesus Christ said to everybody when he started?
Repent. Matthew,
thank you. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Go and read Matthew chapter 4. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Can you see the two? Repent and kingdom of God. I mean, there are two things. Repentance and kingdom of God. Apostle Paul received revelation of the heart of God and the heart of Jesus about this issue of salvation. And he summarizes it perfectly in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. He mentioned repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. This is the key, the heart of the gospel of Jesus. If anyone is doubting his salvation today, if you doubt the process of your salvation, go back to this word. Acts chapter 20, repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. These two must agree. If these two do not agree by faith, that conversion is questionable. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, Jesus put repentance first before the kingdom of God. Why?
Because without repentance, the kingdom of God will have no meaning in our life. We have to repent in order to be able to receive the kingdom of God, because repentance is the only way of receiving God's mercy. It's the only way that we can relate with God through repentance.
Why do I need to repent? This is the question. Why do I need to repent? And what do I need to repent for?
Because we're going in one direction and repentance is about turning around and going in the opposite direction so that we can follow Jesus, repentance from sin, from a life of sin.
Thank you for what you said. How do you know you're on the wrong direction? How do you know? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is such a way that seems good to all men, but the end is death.
It leads to death, yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 13 says, it's not up to man to choose his own way. So the question, how do I know I'm on the wrong way? I like the testimony of this brother Gideon.
Fantastic testimony. I was so excited.
It summarized the whole message. He discovered that he was on the wrong way. He discovered something was wrong. If I don't discover what is wrong, how will I know what is right? That's what you say?
And that's why it starts with every journey of righteousness starts with an awareness of unrighteousness.
So now, how can you be aware of unrighteousness without being aware of righteousness? The question is, what is good in the sight of man can be bad in the sight of God. What standard are we talking about? We are talking about Jesus Christ, the message of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not your earthly kingdom. Every message, the Son of God has come from heaven. He came from heaven to this earth. The word came from heaven. The kingdom is from heaven. Holy Ghost from heaven. Everything about this gospel is about heaven. The things of earth, Jesus said, don't ask for it. It shall be added unto you. Mm-hmm. Everything in this Bible is from heaven and by heaven. What you are running for shall be added unto you. If you seek heaven, those blessings will run after you. If you see the things of heaven, the things of the earth will run after you.
But we're so busy running after the things of this earth that we neglect the things of heaven.
What happened when you run after the things of the earth? They will run away from you and heaven will run away from you. So what do we need to do now? The Bible says, run for the things of heaven.
That's what Jesus said, isn't it? He says, seek Absolutely. First the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. But today we actually seek everything else and expect the kingdom of God to follow. It's not like that. We have to seek the kingdom of God and then everything else will follow us. But if our heart is seeking every other thing, then we can't expect heavenly blessings to follow. And that heavenly blessing will bring what we are looking for.
Jesus Christ has come to bring a change, a radical change, a radical transformation of your life. A radical, everybody in this earth wants his life to change somewhere. Everyone. Just examine your life. You will see everyone want to desire a change. There's nothing you want to emulate. No one is living a life of fulfillment. Somebody may prosper financially, but trouble on the other side.
It's true. Everyone hurts somewhere and everyone looks at their life and think, oh, if only I could change this area. If only this part of me could change. If only this part of my life could change. It's very rarely you meet someone that they said, oh, I'm so satisfied with every area of my life. We all want to change.
Perfection eludes us all. Everybody hurts somewhere, as you said. Sometimes you look at people, you admire them because they have fame, popularity, they have money, they're on the news. But do you know what's happening in the temple of his heart when he's in the secret place of his room, in his house, alone? Do you know what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, from verse 15, 17? You say you are rich. You don't need anything.
You don't know you are poor.
You are blind.
Naked.
You are naked. You are miserable. Jesus came to bring a change, a radical change. We call it the good news of the gospel of Jesus. What is that change? What does that change bring to my life? It has changed my life. I'm one of them.
Me too.
Hallelujah. It has changed my life in a wonderful way. I would never think in my life one day I will sit down here and talk about Jesus. Jesus came to do what no human being can do in my life. Jesus came at the time that no human being will come. When you are forsaken, when you are abandoned, when you are alone, rejected by all, invite Jesus and you will see in your loneliness, you are no longer alone. He's looking for those who are rejected. He's looking for those who are alone. He's looking for those who are weak. Those at the end of themselves, cry out to him and you will find him.
It's true. If you're really ready for a change in your life, that means you're ready for Jesus. Because Jesus comes for a change and a change from the inside out, because that's the greatest change.
Are we willing to change?
Yeah.
Inside out. Sometimes we think we are perfect until somebody can pretend to be good, to be nice, to be loving, until his pride is injured. The day you endure the pride, you see the real person come out. Pride is a sin in all of us in nature. The Bible says no one is perfect. There is no righteous, not even one on this earth. So if there is no righteous, and the scripture said no unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. So what? So mean we are all condemned. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. No unrighteous can inherit the kingdom of God. So how can we go to heaven? Now you can understand why Jesus came. To open the door that no human being can open. To show us the way that no human eye can see. And to take to a place of significance in your life. When Jesus came, he looked at the people, the Samaritan woman. You think Jesus doesn't know you? Hallelujah. Jesus knows everything about you. Even though you do not know him, he knows you.
It's true.
When you are in your room crying, he knows you. When you hate him, you reject him, he knows you. You can reject him. You can blaspheme him. You can insult him. His love towards you is constant. He knows you. Jesus never considers your past to determine your future. That's the change we are talking about. I repeat. Jesus never considers your past to determine the future. He has a future for you. But that future is incompatible with your past. You cannot enter that future if you don't forsake your past. Where are we coming from? What is our past? Ruth?
Unrighteousness. And we cannot discover new oceans until we lose sight of the shore. We have to say no to our past. We have to leave. That reminds me of when the children of Israel, when God led Moses to lead them up to the Red Sea, and when the Red Sea was opened for them to go through, what happened after that? It was closed. There was no way for them to go back.
One way, only one way. You forgot your message. Only one way to heaven.
Okay, yeah.
I'm so glad Jesus is away.
Yeah.
Jesus came in the midst of his people. And they were waiting for a special Messiah who will come with a sword like David and begin to fight the Romans and cast away all the occupying army out of Israel.
That's what they were
waiting for. And to establish the kingdom on the earth. But Jesus came for a specific kingdom. His kingdom is not of this earth. His ways are not the ways of man. The change he wants to bring is what we call the mother of all changes. When that change comes to your life, fear, anxiety, death, trouble, Satan will have no meaning for your life. We need to discover the riches of Jesus before you ask him. Today, Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus blessed me. He has something more than that for you. What does the Bible say? The first place we need to prosper is what?
In our spiritual life.
This means the first place we need to change is our spiritual life. What is the state of our spiritual life? What is the state of your heart? What is the state of your spirit? Are you aware of that? Sometimes we only see the natural. Everything seems good on the natural, nice and beautiful. But the heart is the opposite. A person can be extremely beautiful on the outside, on the standard of man. But inside of it, God says, this is the ugliest person in heaven. A person can be very ugly on the outside because he's the most beautiful person on the side of God. We judge beauty on the outside. God judges beauty on the inside. Beautiful people are those who mirror Jesus. We can only mirror Jesus in the spirit, not in flesh. The question is, what is the standard of God? Why do we need to change? Until, as I said, you said you can never discover new oceans until you lose sight of the shore.
Yeah.
Now, from the shore where you are, can you see the oceans? Can you see what is beyond the ocean? How can you jump over the ocean? How can you reach the ocean? That's what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy. Don't say who will go to heaven to bring that change to me. Don't say who go beyond the ocean to bring that change to me. Don't say who go to heaven. Jesus has come down to bring that change. He died for you, resurrected to bring that change. Look at the life of Saul and the life of Paul. You understand the change I'm talking about.
It's a radical change, a radical transformation.
Look at the life of Peter, business failure, fisherman. To the Apostle Peter, we talk about today, thousands of generations, his name is still alive. Look at the life, what changed John and others to what they are today. Look at the Samaritan woman. The moment you meet Jesus, your life of pain and sorrow will come to an end. Listen to this brother, Gideon. You have heard his testimony. How the spirit of lust was about to destroy his family, to destroy his life. But one day, you say, what is this? Enough is enough. That's where the change is. The day God sees in your heart a simple desire for a change, you will see God. We cannot change ourselves. We can only destroy ourselves. Mm. We cannot save ourselves. We can only destroy ourselves. No human being can change you. We cannot change anyone. Only God can change the heart of a man. The real change. A change not of the body, of the substance, but of the quality of our soul. Mm. God is looking at your heart. God is looking at my heart to determine his standards. Now, when Jesus said, repent, what is repentance? How can we qualify repentance? Mean a complete, a radical transformation of direction. Mm. I was going on the wrong direction, and I discover that this is wrong. To change direction, I must discover I'm in the wrong one. Mm. If you take navigation in your car, you drive, all of a sudden you're the wrong one, you will see the arrow, you tell, hey, you're in the wrong direction. Take a U-turn. Until you discover your weakness, you will never see your need for God's strength.
Mm. And that's why you don't know your need for a savior until you know your need to be saved. You need to know that you're weak by yourself. You need to know that in you there's nothing good. It's only Jesus that can save us, but we need to know our need for Jesus. Otherwise, we can't truly change. Because one thing is to say you want to change. Another thing is to actually be able to be changed. That means to allow the Holy Spirit to change you. Because we can say with our mouth, oh, I want to change. But the question is your heart saying it? In the case of this brother, his heart was saying, enough is enough. I need deliverance. This is not normal. I want to be free. The day that your heart is ready for that change, that is when you have the courage and the conviction to stand your ground and say no to sin. It's difficult, but remember, once you make that decision, Jesus will help you. That's what happened with Peter. Peter stepped out of that boat. It was difficult. It was against everything he thought would possibly ever happen. And when he lost focus on Jesus and started looking down, he started sinking. But what happened? Jesus reached out his hand and Jesus pulled him out of the water, meaning that Jesus wanted to see his genuine willingness first to go in the right direction, to follow him. And in the same way, Jesus is not expecting us to be perfect. He wants us to follow him and allow him to help us in our weakness. Because it's not a matter of combining our strength with God's strength, but a complete and utter removal of our strength to put on God's strength.
Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Mm. Come to me, he said. But how do we come to Jesus?
You have to follow him.
Many people came to Jesus in the Bible. Mm. John chapter 6, go and read. Some came because they were sick. Some came because they needed food, they needed breakthrough, they have need. But some came for a different reason, for the meaning of their life. Some came because they were tired of the life they were living. And Jesus answered every person. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The question is, how do we come to Jesus in the right way? Before you come to Jesus, you must see a reason to come to him. Before you experience a change, you must see the need for a change in your life. If I have not discovered myself, how will I discover Jesus? She said, you cannot discover new oceans unless you lose sight of the shore. The question is, I need to lose sight of the shore first before discovering new ocean. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Mm. Lot's wife was in Sodom.
She looked back.
She looked back. Mm. Mean she was still dwelling in the past. She was not looking for a change to get out of where she was to where God wanted to be. To get out of darkness into the light. Mm. How will you discover the light if you don't know what darkness means? God allows us to go through the dark, so we appreciate the light when it comes. How will I appreciate light until I discover the light? Sometimes we think we are fine. Everything is fine until you realize it is not fine. Something is going deep inside of you. That is not right. Mm. That's what Jesus is looking at. So if I discover my weaknesses, then I will discover my need for God's strength. Everybody wants to be like Jesus. Am I right? Mm. Are you able to love your enemy? Are you able to bless those who curse you? That's what Jesus did. Are you ready to pray for those who persecute you? Are you ready to forgive everybody and to die for them? Are you ready? That's what Jesus did. That's the standard of God. Are we able to reach that standard? Then you realize, hey, this is beyond my capacity. I can never do that. Even to forgive somebody become a challenge for everybody. And Jesus say, love the enemy. You realize that the Ten Commandments say, do you know the Ten Commandments, madam? Ruth say, Because say, number one commandment, I am the Lord your God. You will have no idol. You will not worship idol.
No other God but me.
Yes, and you will never call my name in vain. How many times we call the name of Jesus in vain? Honor my Sabbath. Honor your father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. All these commandments God gives, we break them every single day. When the commandment said don't, we know what is not right. But what to do, what is right, nobody knows. Love your enemy is a commandment. Failing to love an enemy become a sin. Failing to forgive in Christ's standard become a sin. Failing to pray for your enemy is a sin against the law of love.
So when we examine ourselves, we realize that sin consists not only in doing what we should not, but failing to do
and that's
what we should.
Where we miss the mark. Failing to do what we?
What we should.
And that's where the trouble is.
And that's why we think, oh, I don't need to repent every day, or I don't need to ask for forgiveness. I've already received forgiveness as a Christian. We don't understand that that relationship with Jesus is 24/7. And our assignment is to keep our heart a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit cannot dwell where there's pride. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell where there's anger, where there's resentment, when there's bad feelings towards others, where there's envy, jealousy, anger, all these things. If our heart is full of those things, it means that the Holy Spirit cannot reside there. That means it's sin.
I want to comment what you say. Failing to do what is?
Right.
When the rich man came to Jesus, because he has money, he think he did everything. He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said the commandment, oh, Master, I've been doing them from my birth. Jesus said, oh, that's very, very good. But there's something you need to do. Go, sell your property, collect the money, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Ha! Stop. He failed to do what was right in the sight of God. He missed the mark. Today, there are many things we fail to do. And that's the command of Jesus. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. That's the law of Christ. Forgive. That's the law of Christ. But we don't do that. We fail to do that. Human spirit fails to do what is right unless the Holy Spirit comes.
And that's what we mean about, are you able to be changed? Are you able for the Holy Spirit to change you? Because if human help could have helped you, you would have been helped by now. If human wisdom could have saved you, you would have been saved by now. I mean, if human help could have changed you, then that change would have come to your life. But it's beyond what we can do on our own. That's why the testimony of that brother was so touching, because he explained, he said, there's no physical strength that can stop Satan. And that was how the spirit of lust completely was destroying his life. It cannot be stopped in a without the help of the Holy Spirit. There's no way. So in the same way, for you to truly change on the inside, that change that you desire, that you're praying for, it's impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that change to happen today? Because Jesus is ready. The day you discover your problem is half of the victory. Because you're halfway there.
What do you need today? If you see a river, we like the water, right? But where does the water come from?
The source.
Where is the source of the water? Deep, deep, deep inside the ground, unseen. And that's what Jesus comes to do. If you believe in me, rivers of living water will flow from your spirit to everlasting life. He said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger again. He who believes in me will never thirst again. That's what Jesus is telling you today. The change you need is not on the outside, as he said, deep within you. Today, you want to see a change on the outside. It must start inside of you. If you seek the kingdom of God, And his righteousness, as Jesus instructed, the fruit will manifest on the outside. Do not worry what to eat, what to wear, what tomorrow be, says the Lord. Seek my kingdom and his righteousness. What's the meaning of seeking the kingdom of God? When you say seeking the kingdom, what's the meaning of that?
We should pursue holiness.
Where is the kingdom of God, you see? True. Seeking the kingdom of God is seeking Jesus Christ himself.
Mm. And the kingdom of God is within our heart. So we have to seek the presence of Jesus. And as long as we keep seeking the presence, it means the presence of Jesus is with us. But the day that we think, oh yes, I've got it, I'm there. The day we stop seeking is the day that we don't have that Spirit of God within us because we think we've arrived.
Seeking the kingdom of God is seeking Jesus Christ. Mm. What's the meaning of seeking Jesus Christ? Seeking Jesus Christ is seeking salvation. Mm. What's the meaning of seeking salvation? Seeking salvation is seeking the Holy Spirit from heaven.
Mm.
Seeking the Holy Ghost is seeking godly character, the fruit of the Spirit. I repeat, seeking the kingdom of God is seeking Jesus Christ. Seeking Jesus Christ is seeking salvation. Seeking salvation is seeking righteousness, the Holy Spirit himself. Seeking Holy Ghost is seeking the fruit of the Spirit, godly character. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you say it again.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Two things. Mm. When you seek the kingdom of God, you seek Jesus. When you seek Jesus, you seek salvation. When you believe in salvation, you receive who? Holy Spirit comes. Mm. That is the kingdom. The first thing God does is to give you the heart of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, that is salvation. By the coming of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom comes. But that's not enough. Seeking his righteousness is seeking the character of Christ, likeness of Jesus. Mm. When we are converted, we receive a new grace, a new spirit. We are like Jesus in our heart. But we must live like him. Mean Christ's likeness is forever. These two things we should never forget. When you seek the kingdom of God, when salvation comes, Holy Ghost comes, it's not all. We must live a life of righteousness. Mm. You must seek righteousness. You must live a life without sin. Shun all righteousness and live what is right in the sight of God. Mean your mind, your emotion, your body, everything must be sanctified. Mm. We are in the world, but not a part of it. How do we develop Christ-likeness? We say we are not perfect. Am I right? Mm. But God's standard is perfection. That is why the Bible says the disciples were called disciples. To emulate the character of Jesus, the nature of Jesus. When you accept Jesus, you accept the nature of God with a new spirit, a new heart, right? But that nature of God can only be evident in the midst of community. Mm. Your relationship with others. Mm. Seek the kingdom of God is the relationship with Jesus, Holy God, God himself, spirit to spirit. But righteousness means your relationship with other fellow human beings.
It's when our hatred is provoked that our love has a chance to grow. It's when our impatience is provoked that our patience has a chance to grow. Our endurance has a chance to grow. So it's in the midst of community that the fruits of the Spirit are evident in our life. Because if it's just you in a room by yourself just praying to God, how do you employ the fruits of the Spirit? It's in our interaction with other people where our weakness is provoked. That's when we know we need the Holy Spirit.
Let me take the example of Gideon. See what happened? He said he was at the brink of breaking his marriage. Mm. The wife was ready to divorce him, to separate from him. But the moment he discovered the weakness, the moment he ran to Jesus for the purpose, at the meeting, there's a touch. Trouble left. The first thing he did, he said, he went to his phone and deleted all the contact of sin. Immediately, he began to read the Bible, began to develop love for his wife, his family.
He began to be very careful what he listened to, what he read.
Hallelujah.
All those external influences that can really have, that can change our
That's
focus.
The change God is looking at. That's the fruit of righteousness. change must happen first deep inside of you and be manifested in your attitude, in your character towards others. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5, let your light shine. It is when you are in the midst of the community, in your working place, in the midst of those who do not believe in Jesus, that the light of God should shine. In the midst of people who don't believe what you believe, let your light shine. Mean, let your goodness shine. Let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested by the way you speak, by the way you talk, by the way you act. The man said, at the end, he was no longer provoked by anybody. Before, he used to be angry. Self-control has come. Before, he used to lust. Contentment has come.
Because that's how sin works. When sin enters your life, it's an open door for other sins to enter. That's why if the spirit of lust is there, definitely anger will come, jealousy will come, impatience will come, all the fruits of the flesh.
I'm talking to somebody. The greatest change you need is to live now. The greatest change in your life you need is to live in the present. You are living in the past, remembering your mistake, remember your trouble, those who hurt you, or you want to live in the future, imagination.
Worrying about a future.
Worrying about the future or tomorrow.
Not even there.
Faith is now. Opportunity is now. Peace is now. Now, 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 now.
And that is actually the meaning of a free heart, what you just said there. If you want to change, you have to live in the present. And the only way you can live in your present is if you have a free heart. Because faith acts now, and it's the present that Jesus speaks to our heart. But if our heart is so full of resentment of the past, anger of the past, bitterness of the past, worry about the future, then how is our heart free to receive instruction from God now? Be present now.
Leave your future to Jesus. He's the governor of your future. The moment you learn to live now, contentment will come. The moment you learn to use today's supply for today's need and leave tomorrow to God, you have peace of heart and mind. Jesus says, sufficient for the day is in trouble. Am I right?
Yes.
Leave each day as if it were your last. Why are you continuing to imagine trouble that will never come to pass? Why are you going to re-edit your life in the light of the past? That the past will come again. Oh, this man did it to me. He will do it again. No. Every day is opportunity in Christ Jesus for a change. When the change comes, your past is over. You will stop living into yesterday. You will stop taking journey into yesterday. You will stay current.
That's why the best time to change is now. Now.
You need to stay current.
Don't wait any time before that change comes to your life. Don't delay that change. Don't leave it for a more convenient day, because that more convenient day may never come. That's change is a decision for now.
That's the greatest step to defeat fear, is to live now. Fear of tomorrow, live now. Anxiety, live now. The trouble yesterday, commit to Jesus in prayer and live now. And the fear you see will never come to pass. The greatest change in our life is a change of attitude, it's a change of focus. We focus now, we focus on God, on God's word, not on tomorrow, but on the past. My past is over. Look at Saul, who became Paul. We know what he did before. He said, that man is dead, is no longer me anymore. I'm a new creation. I'm serving God with a pure conscience. So now your past is over when you begin to live now. That's the greatest change Jesus will bring. Your past is over. You need to be disconnected from your past. The camera of your wrongdoing is canceled by God forever. You start a new day, a new life, a new beginning now. Radical transformation. And once you accept Jesus, a new book is open. A new record is open. A new camera is open. New record is open. New life is open. We venture into faith life with Jesus day by day, hour by hour. You stop reliving your past pain. You stop reliving your past failure. And you begin to live in the presence with a new hope, with a new direction, with a new thought. You will stop thinking on the level of the past. And this is where Satan is taking people. Connect your mind to the past.
Change your thoughts and change your words.
Absolutely.
Never think or talk on the level of your old life. So if you're listening to this message right now, are you ready for that change?
That's my message. Stay current. Stop reliving the past. Live in the present and forgive yourself. You can't forgive anybody because you refuse to forgive yourself. You can't love because you refuse to love yourself. Every fruit of the Spirit must start by you first. Mm. How do you forgive yourself? That's the great question. Mm. You can only forgive yourself. You give yourself hope by stop reliving your past. Mm. Stop condemning yourself. Your past is over. Mm. The moment you do that, you're able to forgive others. Live in the present. Today is opportunity in the name of Jesus.
Write today's date down and never think or talk anymore on the level of your old life. Your old life is yesterday. As from today, as from now, this is a new start for your life. This is a new day. This is a new dawn.
Your past is a record of the devil. Every mistake you do is recorded in his past. Hmm. Every sin he leads you to do, Satan puts in his record. His record. His record to accuse you, to stand against you. Anytime you say, I'm good. Hey, do you remember what you did yesterday? You open the record of your past. Your past appears to be the only record, the only information the devil has against you. Mm. When Jesus comes to the cross, he will destroy that record. He will tear it down forever, never to be remembered by God. Mm. If Satan remembers your past, God never remembers your past. He forgives you. Remember him. Remind him where he's going.
Remind him his future.
Yes. If Satan reminds your past, remind him his future. You know where he's going. But you know where you're going. Mm. My past is over. Jesus come to reset your belief on now, on the word of God, to live in the present.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mm. Radical change in your life. Are you ready for that radical change? If you're ready, right now it's a decision in your heart. You can ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Change my thoughts, change my words. Come, take more of me and give me more of you.
So reset the clock of your heart. Some clock are still in the long the past, right?
Yeah.
They are minutes late. Some are minutes faster. Reset your clock on now. If it's now, God is now, salvation is now, the goodness of God in your life is now. Live in the presence and hypertension will leave you. The best way to defeat hypertension is to live to now. Live now. Stop magnifying your fears of tomorrow. Live in the presence and leave the issue to Jesus. Cut your coat to your size. Mm. Use today's supply for today's need and let tomorrow be in the hand of Jesus. Thank you.
Reset the clock of your heart and make sure you share your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life, because I believe Jesus is right now working on many hearts.
Can I ask you? You have a clock. What's the right time of God?
Now.
Now! Faith is now.
Faith is now. Make sure you don't miss what Jesus has for your life.
Hallelujah.
Don't miss what God has in store for you because you're thinking about yesterday, because you're worrying about tomorrow. Make sure you are ready to receive what Jesus has for you.
Remember, Jesus never considers your past record. Mm. He determines your future. Jesus come now to give you your opportunity.
When Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your
house. Thank you. Today salvation has come to your life.
And that came after the conviction that Zacchaeus said, today anyone I've wronged, I'll repay them four times as much. Meaning that anything he'd done in his life that was wrong, that's repentance. Repentance is a change of heart.
Today, if you have been seeking pounds of dollars and pounds of dollars have been running away from you, seek the kingdom of God. Seek Jesus Christ. Seek salvation. Seek the Holy Ghost and all those things shall run after you. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you say, these are the blessings that will follow you. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing that's supposed to follow you, mm-hmm. but you are following them and they run away from you. Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Wait, I wanted to read Isaiah.
Yes, go ahead.
Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Verse 6, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord.
Say it again.
Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Seek the Lord. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the Lord. Who is
now.
The Lord? Jesus. Now.
Seek him now.
Now. Uh-huh. What did you say after?
Call upon him while he is near.
Call upon him. Joel chapter 2, 32. Whoever called the name of the Lord shall be saved.
He's near now.
Wait. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. Call Jesus Christ now. He's never late.
Hmm. Let the wicked forsake his way.
Repentance.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts.
Repentance.
Let him return to the Lord.
Repentance is yield your heart over to Jesus.
Turn around and stop going the wrong way and go the right way.
Thank you.
And the best decision is to do that now.
If you do that, the foundation, peace will take over your heart and you will see life clearly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
So we are so excited about what God is doing in your life. And we know that right now, now, God is resetting the clock of your heart. So you're focused on him. So you're tuned on him. And so you are ready to receive now what he wants to do in your life.
You know, sorry, there are many people living in the past. How do you live in the past? Are you holding a grudge against somebody? You are in the past. Are you thinking about the pain of yesterday? You are in the past. Are you refusing to forgive? You are locked in the past. Forgive, release yourself, and be current and live in the present.
Because someone who could have hurt you yesterday, tomorrow can be a helper in your life. So we have to just remember that Jesus holds our future and he knows us better than we know ourselves.
Stay current.
Now.
Live in the present.
Now.
Amen.
I hope you get that message.